right, let's give the praise team a hand this morning. Fantastic job. Thank you all so much. If that doesn't stir you, it needs to. It was fantastic singing this morning. Take your Bibles and, big surprise, go to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 is where we are. There's a very good chance if you're visiting for the summer and you come back next summer, we still may be in Philippians. You never know. But Philippians chapter number 2 is where we are this morning. And boy, we are just looking through an amazing portion of Scripture as we have been looking at the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He went through for us, and ultimately demonstrating His humility and what He had accomplished for mankind. And so this morning we are in verse number 12 in Philippians chapter number 2, and we'll work our way through a large amount of verses this morning, maybe one actually, maybe two, we'll see how that goes, but verse number 12 in Philippians chapter number 2, where the Bible says this: "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Let's just bow our heads for just a moment and ask for God's help and blessing upon this portion of Scripture. Father, we come to you today in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth that we find therein. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you revealed yourself to us through your Word. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and my words this day, that I would, through your power, be able to allow this portion of Scripture to work in every heart, that the Holy Spirit would take these words and apply them where He sees fit. And Father, that we would be changed and moved as a result of what we hear from your Word this day. We thank you for the singing that we have enjoyed together this morning and for the opportunity to exalt you and to exalt your name. We thank you for this privilege. Once again, Lord, help us work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Philippians chapter number 2, and we have found our way, as we just read, in verse number 12. Just a little bit of understanding as we get into these verses this morning. We understand that at the very beginning of this verse, it's maybe a verse that we are not as familiar with, but by the end of verse number 12, we see a portion that is very familiar, where the Bible says, "To work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Just to clarify a few things as we go into this portion of Scripture, this is not teaching that salvation is to be earned through works or through something man can do. Salvation is a free gift of God through the grace that was given to us through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's many clear scriptures that talk that salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, "For by grace are you saved, through faith." And then it says, "And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. The Bible also tells us that salvation is not earned. And the Bible says clearly in Galatians and others that if you keep the law or try to keep the law, Christ shall profit you nothing. God shall profit you nothing. For salvation is given through the merit of Jesus Christ alone. Works may follow salvation, but they do not give or earn salvation anyway. That is only through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So now that we understand that, we recognize that this portion of Scripture is not talking about earning salvation. One person says it like this: "An unconverted man can work nothing out, for there is nothing in him. You have faith, work it out then. Act like a believer. Trust God in daily life. Be Christ-like in so much as the Spirit of Christ dwells in you." And so in verse number 12, the Apostle Paul begins, I think, with some kind words, and he's clearly addressing the church at Philippi as a whole. And he says, "My beloved." He loves them. He cares for them. It's amazing how Paul, when he writes, oftentimes uses words that can tend to be rather kind and tender. And I know he has some stern warnings, but he has some times where he can, where he writes and he is kind and tender. And he says, "My beloved, I care for you. I love for you." And he even starts by commending their obedience and encourages them in their faithfulness. And he reminds them that Christian maturity is measured by our obedience to the truth of God's word and as we live. And as we look at this portion of scripture, we're going to find out, I made a mistake this morning and brought probably too many pages of notes. So typically when I do that, I end up just leaving them to the side and just going on. But as we look at this portion of scripture, we're going to be reminded that what the Apostle Paul is writing is he is encouraging the believers through the example of the Lord Jesus Christ to live out what Christ has already exemplified, to demonstrate in their lives the resurrected Lord, to demonstrate in their lives the humility and the obedience that we would just saw in the previous verses. And so one author says this, I thought this was interesting. He says, we may like to hear the gospel with its grand news and all that it has to offer, but we do not always feel quite so pleased when it goes on to call us to live a particular way. The example of Christ, to live a particular way. And so in verse 12, he starts, as I've mentioned, I commend your obedience. You obeyed when I was there, and I pray that you'll continue to obey when I'm not there, as he said in verse 12, in my presence only, not in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. So here's what he gets to, and this is where we're going to spend a lot of time this morning. Work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. So what does this mean, the idea of working out your salvation with fear and trembling? As I mentioned already, the author started kindly and compassionately upon them, but now he says, work out your salvation. Let's go back just a few verses in verse number 5 of chapter number 2. Verse number 5 of chapter number 2, and we get an idea of what is taking place. Now, I'm going to remind you all that sometimes that as Christians, we forget that the Bible is flowing. It has a context. It is flowing from one thought to another, and oftentimes it is going back and building upon what has already been said. So at this point, remember from 2 weeks ago and even a little bit last week, the Bible says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, he says, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now, I'm not going to ask you to answer this out loud, but what is taking place in the context of this passage? Remember, earlier in the passage, he was talking about unity. Let everyone be like-minded. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let everybody have the same mind and all these things. And then he goes to the example of Christ. And the example of Christ he uses was the example of Christ and his obedience upon the cross. Words that he uses here. And he says, let the mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He was in the form of God. We went through all these verses. We understand that Christ was God in the flesh. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, in being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Remember these? He was a servant. He said, the Bible says, he was obedient. He humbled himself. All these things are being used to demonstrate the life of a Christian. And so he continues on. He says, and then we started talking about last week, the exaltation of Christ. And then we found ourselves back to verse 12. And we have to remember, I believe, and you may take issue with this, I believe that this thought is still flowing to a certain extent. Where he says in verse number 12, that to work out or to demonstrate Christ in our lives. To demonstrate the humility of Christ. We are saved by grace through faith. We are believers in Christ. Once we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. And so we are to live our lives on the basis of who we are as Christians. Christ demonstrated humility. A Christian should be humble. The Bible says he became obedient even unto death. The Christian should be obedient to the Scriptures and the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says he humbled himself, he became obedient, and he was a servant. And so in verse 12, the author is saying, live out your salvation. Our salvation should have an impact upon our lives. Our should have an impact upon our marriages. Our salvation should have an impact upon our workplace. Our salvation should have an impact upon our friendships and those that we're with. We act different. We live different. We are living out and we are demonstrating who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We work it out. We demonstrate these things. Salvation, according to this passage, I believe, is something that is already possessed by those that he's writing to. It's something they have. And now he's saying, based upon the example of Christ, live out your salvation. Demonstrate that to those around you. We live it. We practice it. How can we practice being saved? That's a good question, right? How do we live that out? Well, we look at Scripture and see what Scripture says about living it out. The Bible says that as Christians, we should be forgiving people, right? And how do we forgive? As Christ has forgiven us. We should forgive one another. The Bible says that we should be loving people. The Scripture says, if any man says he knows God and loves God, and yet he hates his brother, how does that work? That is an example of not living out a Christian, living out our lives. The Bible says, if you're a husband here today, that you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's living out the work of God in your life. You're different. You're changed. The Bible has times where it mentions, says, but you know these people do not inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. But you're washed, you're clean, you're saved, you're different now. You're a believer. You're living out. We're practicing who we are as Christians. We are growing as Christians, and we are displaying Christ to those around us. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think Christian people should be the most joyful, fun people to be around that you've ever met. Do you think that? I mean, sometimes I think as Christians, it's like it's required to be a Christian to have a frown on your face, right? I mean, we're just going to be upset. We're going to be bitter. You know, we're not going to forgive because we know we're right and the world is terrible and all these things. But the Bible says we can demonstrate Christ. We can show Christ to others and not only practice it and live it and develop it, but display Christ. The ways that we can display him to this world. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. We had a meeting yesterday about talking to the kids and dealing with the kids. And you know, some of these children that may come to Vacation Bible School, the only thing they may know of God is what they're going to learn here this week. They might never come back again. And the only what they know of a Christian is what they're going to see in you and to display Christ to those around us. So to live out, to display our salvation. Our salvation should really impact these areas. And I'm just going to go through this real quick this morning. But our salvation should impact our speech. The way we talk, the things we talk about, it should impact our speech. The things that come out of our mouths. The book of the Old Testament says that are the meditations of my heart. It's going to be Osteen translation this morning. May it magnify you in Psalms, right? Psalms number 19, which reminds me, you all got off the hook this morning in my teen Sunday school class. They were supposed to have that memorized for class this morning. You have it, Scarlett. You want to stand up? Okay. All right. And so, but anyway, we understand that our speech is affected by the fact that we are a believer in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. You know what else is impacted? You know how else we're living out our salvation? Our attitudes. Our attitudes should be impacted by the fact that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it can be hard to have a good attitude, right? Sometimes our attitudes can come and go, and we see somebody like, hey, how are you today? Oh, it's just been a bad day. Just upset about everything, right? Our attitudes. You know, I was telling Joanna the other day, I really try in my life to have a good attitude. Because I've been, in my opinion, I think I've been to the bottom, right? And I know what the bottom is like, and I don't want to be there. I want to have an attitude in my life that demonstrates Christ. Everywhere I go and people I meet, we should have an attitude that demonstrates Christ. And that attitude should be seen and visible even when people aren't watching, right? Say, okay, whew, I'm away from people. I can get mad for a while, right? We can have an attitude of Christ. And so he says to live out our salvation. Work out your salvation, your speech, your attitude, your relationship, your marriage, your parenting, your worship, your priorities. All these things are part of demonstrating and living out a life as a Christian. Works does not produce salvation, but our works accompany who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Our love, our forgiveness, our speech, our attitude, our relationships, our marriage, our parenting, our worship, all these things are demonstrated by Christ. Now we understand that we are in verse number 12, it's like, in my opinion, the Bible's saying, well, work out your salvation. It makes me feel like this is something that I need to do, right? Some sort of power that I need to put myself in submission. I need to be able to practice these things better. As verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that is in relation, as I've already mentioned, to what Christ has already demonstrated. Every time in the Bible, we see doctrine before duty. We see that God gives us and shows us the power, gives us an example of what can be done, and then tells us to emulate these things through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask ourselves today, I ask myself, what does it mean to work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Does that mean that I'm terrified of God necessarily? No, but it's something that is serious. I'm working it out. I have this interesting story that I read this week. I'll pull out some of my notes that I had hid away for a second because they were getting in my way. But there was a Roman historian that lived in the first century, and he wrote in Greek actually, and gave an account of a famous silver mine in Spain. And he referred to this mine with the same word as working out of the mines, the same Greek word that is used here in verse number 12, to work out your salvation. So he used that same Greek word and working out of the mines. He used the exact same Greek word. And what does it mean? To work out the mines, to work out salvation. It meant that they were to operate the mine in such a way that they could get the utmost value out of it. They already had the mines in their possession, and they were to derive the full benefit from them. That's what Paul is talking about here. You already have Christ. He is your Savior. Are you living that out? Are you demonstrating that out to those around you? To work out the mind, to work out what God has done for us in our lives. We are imitating the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has set the example. We are to follow. For us to work out, to walk in his step, we show love for him and we do not hesitate to follow in his step. Christ has set the example for us. We work that out. It's serious to us. We want to live out our Christian life for the glory of God. But then again, as I started to say just a moment ago, we ask ourselves this, all right? And if you're anything like me, and I've joked about this before, and I was confirmed of this today, thanks to Jeremiah's slideshow that he made. Thankfully, none of us got pulled over on the way there like last year in Gardner. That was embarrassing. So we were good. But did you see the picture of me playing tetherball? I have got to quit eating chocolate chip cookies. You know, and so, you know, these diet, you know, we go on these things and we say, well, I have to do this on my own ability. I have to do this by my own power. And we have all these things. And let me just tell you something. Yes, God wants us to demonstrate Christ. He wants us to love like Christ, forgive like Christ, be like Christ, have the humility of Christ, the servant attitude of Christ, to have these things in our life. But here is the good news. You don't do it by your own power. It's given by grace through Christ. And that's what he gets to in verse 13, where he says, yes, work your salvation. Live your life for him. Demonstrate Christ to those around you. Be a loving husband. Be someone that has a good attitude, that's a joy to work with and a joy to be around. Live your life and demonstrate Christ to those that are near you. And then we kind of hang our heads for a second and we're like, oh, how can I do this? How can I demonstrate Christ with my sinful flesh and my sinful desires and the things that I often do in my life? And even as Paul wrote, he says, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I keep doing them. And we ask ourselves, how can I do this? And then we get to verse number 13. So I believe verse 12 is sandwiched between two amazing passages where he says earlier, the example of Christ, his servanthood, his humility, his obedience, as he says, unto death. And then he says, you live this out. You live the example of Christ. And then we're like, well, how in the world am I going to live the example of Christ? I mean, he's God in the flesh. How can I do that? And then you get verse 13. And he says this, for it is of God. Oh, thank the Lord. It is of God. See, my working for God needs to be empowered by God. God does not want me to live by my own strength and my own power, but dependence upon Him in this life. I want to live in dependence upon Him. So he says in verse number 13, for it is of God, which, look at this, I love this, verse number 13, what does He do? Which worketh in you. Hot diggity dog. That's the power of God in my life. God wants me to demonstrate these characteristics, but I find in my flesh no ability to demonstrate these characteristics, because guess what? When somebody cuts me off, I want to blow my horn. I just do. And you do too, and you know it, right? Judging me up here this morning, right? And so, you know, we have these things, or if my wife and I, which we never do, if we get into a spat, I want to think I'm right, but I never am, right? You know, or if I get into a relationship, you know, with somebody and they won't take my point and I just know I've studied it, I know I'm right, and it just irritates me when they don't see it. Right? Guess what? That's me. That's my pride. That's my selfishness. That's my ability. Without Christ, can I actually forgive? Without Christ, can I actually love? Without the love of Christ in me, when God is the author of all love? I mean, without Him, can I actually do any of these things that He's asking of me? And I would say the answer is no. To be the husband I need to be, I need the power of Christ in my life. To be the Christian, to be able to demonstrate Him in this community, in this church, I need the power of Christ in me. And that's what verse 13 is saying. For it is Him that worketh in me. He is the one that produces the character in me that He desires me to have. That is the Christian life. I read an illustration about this week. I heard it said, I'll just read what I have typed out. There was a good sculptor, and whenever he sees a suitable block of marble, he firmly believes there is a statue concealed within. But the sculptor's job, this business, is to take away any material that is veiling this thing of beauty, this statue within. And so that's the job of the Holy Spirit. The moment that I accept Christ as my Savior, I have the Holy Spirit, and I'm like this chunk of marble, right? And God takes His chisel, and He starts chipping away everything. Miss Leslie has an illustration. I wish she was here this morning, because she was traveling one day and there was a guy with a chainsaw, and he was making these wooden bears. And she said, well, how do you do this? And he said, it's easy. I take away everything that doesn't look like a bear. So we're this chunk of marble. We're not using wood today, but we're this chunk of marble. And God says, I want you to work out. I want you to live out your salvation. And then God begins to work on us through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. And He starts, take away these things that don't look like a Christian. He gets him out of our lives. And he works, and he works, and he quarries us by his grace. And he works in our life until finally, which I wonder to myself, when will this be, right? For me, and I see what Christ is doing in my life. God has sketched the image of his Son in you through salvation by faith in his work. And yet, the slightly carved marble has fairly outlined it. But go on. Allow him to continue chipping away the sins and chipping away the infirmities and chipping away the corruptions until the fairness of Christ is seen in our lives. So he says in verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Our speech, our attitude, our relationship, our work ethic, all these things demonstrate the life of Christ. And then he says, well, how do you do this? How do you live for Christ in this dark world? And then he reminds us in verse 13, it is God. Verse 13, it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. You know what I think of in verse number 13? Sometimes I ask myself this question, and I don't think I'm alone, but I ask myself, God, what is going on? Why are we going through this? You know, I don't want to go into all my health stuff, but I ask my God a lot during that, what is going on? And then I'm reminded it is of God that worketh in you. It is God that is chipping away pieces in your life that don't look like Christ, that don't emulate Christ in your life. It is God working in our lives. And I wonder, and I know, is God working in your life? Is he chipping away? And I know he is. Is he working in your life that Christ would be seen? I wonder if in our own hearts today, for just a moment, if you can imagine yourself as that block of marble, I wonder if you can imagine in your own heart what piece still needs to be chipped away. What is it there that is not demonstrating Christ as it should? What piece is it? Is it some unforgiveness? Is it an unknown sin? Is it the way you talk or the way you think? Or maybe in a relationship somewhere? Or maybe just a rotten attitude? And it's like this picture, and there's just that bulge there that just has not been chipped away because you're holding on to it. Let Christ work in your life. I like the illustration for this passage. A sailboat cannot create wind, but it must raise the sails. That's a good illustration, I think, of the Christian life. I want to live for God. I want to obey God. I want to be living by his Spirit. And I raise those sails, and I am driven by the power of God in my life and not by my own strength. So quickly, four applications this morning. Number one, examine our obedience. Are we obeying as we have seen demonstrated here in this entire chapter of chapter number 2? Are we obeying God? Are we seeking to be Christ? Are we seeking to demonstrate our salvation? Are we pursuing spiritual growth? Do you want to grow? Is that your desire? Are you growing? Am I more like Christ? You think of that statue. You know, there's that sculpture in South Dakota. Crazy Horse. Have you seen that, what they're building? And every year, I mean, they're just doing private funds and all this stuff. And every year, I'll look it up and see, and they're a little further along in that statue, right, of Crazy Horse there in South Dakota. And so I kind of think of my life. If a year from now, will I look back and say, I've been more obedient, I've yielded more of my life to God, and I'm seeing him cut these things out of my life. I'm going to be honest with you. Confession time, okay? Are you ready for the confession? I really, really struggle with patience. Does anybody else? I mean, 30 seconds in the microwave is an eternity, right? I mean, it's like, oh, my word, can this, seconds, and oh, it's just ridiculous. But patience, But I'm proud to say that even Joanna will attest, I'm doing much better. And that's through the power of Christ. That's not because of me. That's because that's something that I knew that I was dealing with, and I began to say, Lord, you do help me with this, and that he has taken that almost in patience away, right? And so I pray that in this life that I'm living, that that is a piece that's been chipped away, that as he's seeking to demonstrate and exalt Christ in my life. So are we being obedient? Do we raise the sails? Do we want to grow? Are we growing? Are we seeking to be more like Christ than we were last year? Ask ourselves, is God visible in my life? Salvation should continue to produce growth. There's all kinds of verses about that. He says, don't desire just milk. By now, you should be having meat, but I'm having to go back and reteach you because you are still using milk. Depend upon the Holy Spirit. Be reminded that this is a work of God in our lives. So examine our obedience. Pursue spiritual growth. And then number three, which is my favorite, depend upon God's strength. Christian, I wish I could just impart this to you to learn this, but I know it took me so many years to understand this. But I'm telling you, don't seek to live the Christian life without God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know that sounds simple, but yet Christian after Christian seeks to do this. Like, I'm going to live for God and not involve God. The Christian life is lived by the power of God and is of him that worketh in you. Stop trying to live the Christian life by sheer willpower. You know what that's called? Burnout, right? It doesn't work. The Christian life is designed to be lived by the power of God within you. Depend upon the Spirit. God is working on you. Friend, you can't forgive on your own. You need the power of God. We can't love on our own. We need the love of God. We can't shine on our own. We need the strength of God in our lives. And then number four, and we're done this morning. Live your life to please the Lord. Live your life to please the Lord. The Christian life is not about pleasing people. It's about living for Christ. Every day we could ask ourselves in our words, our thoughts, our attitudes, the way we react, the way we don't react, we can ask ourselves this, does this please the Lord? Is that his power or is that my power, right? Is that something that I really think the Holy Spirit just said? Or is that something Josh just said? Or is this something that God is producing in my life? So we reminded, as he says in verse 12 and 13, demonstrate, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Charles Spurgeon says this. I like this quote. It's real short, which is unusual for Spurgeon. But he says, God's work within us is the secret of our work without. God's work within us is the secret for our work without. So let us never become complacent. Let us work out what God is working in. Let us obey with reverence, trust in his power, and seek his glory above all else. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation, demonstrate it with fear and trembling. For it is of God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Joanna's going to come this morning and play a hymn of invitation for us, and Molly, can we bow our heads for just a moment together this morning and think about the truth that we have seen demonstrated from God's word today? As they begin to play for us, just bow our heads and just allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts for just a moment. Are we living out who we are as Christians? Are we being sculpted by the sculptor? We know that he's working. Can we see more and more of ourself being chipped away and more of Christ's glory being revealed in us? How's our speech, our attitudes, our intentions? Are we living by our own power or the power that's within us? You can set the sail, but we must depend upon the work and the power of God every day. Take a moment, just talk to the Lord there in your seat. Let's stand to our feet, and we'll read our final verse together. Again, encourage you, ask yourself the question this week, is that Christ working in me? Is that what I am doing, or am I allowing Him to produce in my life? Let's read this together, Colossians 1:9. Are you ready? For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9. I love that verse. Be filled with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Boy, that's really what it's all about in this world. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we're not alone. Thank you that you give us strength and power. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word that teaches us about you and about us and how to live for you. Lord, may we be a demonstration of Christ this week. May our attitudes, may our actions, may our speech, may our thoughts and intents of our very heart, may they honor and glorify you. Lord, may each of us, including myself, search our own hearts. And more, Lord, may we live by your power and trust in you, knowing that you will drive us, you will move us, and that you will work in our life. We thank you for this great opportunity to be together. Thank you for the wonderful music we have sung together. Thank you for the kids and for their testimonies of camp. And thank you for Jeremiah and Molly and working so hard with the teenagers. We're thankful for them and give them strength and help each and every day. Thank you for Cody joining the church this morning. And we just ask God that our church would honor and glorify you and that Christ would be seen in all that we do. Everything that we do, may Christ be seen. In His name we ask this. Amen.